producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, folks, as you probably know, I did not go to the MUFON symposium, which occurred on the last weekend of September. Chris didn't go. So, we don't have much to report except that it occurred in Irvine, California, which would have been a few hours' drive from here. So if I really wanted to go and they were willing to send me a press pass, I probably would have. Do they give out press passes over there?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, all right. Well, maybe I should have thought about it. But then again, do I want to see Jaime Busan?
Probably not.
Do I want to see Paul Hellyer?
Definitely not.
Right. So I would have liked to have seen Preston Dennett. Do you know him?
I've met him, sure.
Yeah, he used to write for my magazine like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have loved to have met him because he's an interesting guy. And some of the other people seem like they're decent. I'm kind of worried about John Greenwald, though, when he did all this grandstanding a few months back about the release of the Project Blue Book files, implying that he had the exclusive to something that had been online for over a decade.
Yeah, which he had to pull down.
That was really peculiar. I mean, I don't think he looked very
good.
Who
is it that actually owns the rights? I'm trying to remember who it was. It was some like head scratcher organization that actually has the rights to those.
They had the rights to that particular presentation, but other sites have put it online for years.
Hmm.
It did not make a lick of sense to me.
Yeah. Well, old news, you know, let's move onwards and upwards, I think, in the field and try to do the best we can with new cases and, you know, kind of revamp the wheel is broken approach and come up with a better way to approach the subject and maybe make some headway for the first time in 70 years.
That would be a change. That's why I have argued to throw it all away. But as you say, there are some people who are doing really good work. And we want to recognize that work and maybe find a way they can operate with a new system. But short of really doing something drastic, how do you change it? It's like changing the U.S. Congress. It's never going to happen.
Well, you just have to get proactive and you have to, you know, attempt to do things like our, you know, the San Luis Valley Camera Project and hard data monitoring of hotspot areas. To me, that makes the most sense. Anything short of that, you need quite a large budget to send people at a moment's notice around the world to investigate breaking cases. I'd say set something up in a place where, you know, you have a better odds on chance of capturing something. So that's, you know, anything short of that, I'm really not sure.
Speaking of things that aren't drastic, we're getting kind of a trickle effect of news about possible life in outer space. And that's a bad pun. Except that there appears to be flowing water on Mars. But not the kind you want to drink.
No, evidently not. I haven't dove into that yet. I've heard rumblings of it over the past couple of days, but I haven't really had the time to dive into it and find out what it's all about. Why don't you give us your thumbnail?
Well, the thumbnail is, according to a story I have here from The Guardian, liquid water runs down canyons and crater walls over the summer months on Mars, according to researchers who say the discovery raises the chances of being home to some form of life. The trickles leave long, dark stains on the Martian terrain that could reach hundreds of meters downhill in the warmer months before they dry up in the autumn as surface temperatures drop. Now, one more thing here. Scientists are unsure where the water comes from, but it may rise up from the underground ice or salty aquifers or condense out of the thin Martian atmosphere. Now, interesting here is that the water coming from the subsurface. And you wonder here, if Martians truly existed and the surface atmosphere is dying over millennia, would they retreat to the interior of the planet to keep some kind of ecosystem going?
Sure, in a good science fiction novel.
Well, of course. But the thing here is, if there's life, what they're telling you is that life is microbial. You know, it's not Martians. Although, what is it, this new movie with Matt Damon, The Martian, where he is an explorer who was stranded on Mars, and he grows potatoes there. That's one of the shticks they pull. But the point being here was we're getting this gradual flow. Again, there's a pun. I'm sorry, folks. The gradual flow of information indicating the conditions for life are present on other worlds. And again, we get back to, are we talking about gradual disclosure here?
I don't think so, but if it is some form of gradual disclosure, it wouldn't surprise me.
Obviously, the big question here is, what would work better? Would it work better to say, okay, we know there's life in the universe, maybe we're in contact with them, assuming UFOs are spaceships, and that's a big if and a big assumption. Would that cause panic or a serious impact to the stock market and the energy industries and all that?
No.
Or would it be better to just feed the information in so slowly, so gradually, over a period of several decades, that we wake up and we're used to it? You know, we are accustomed to the fact that there's water on Mars and it's flowing. There's water on some of the moons of, what, Jupiter and Saturn. And that we're getting closer and closer to discovering the possible presence of planets around other star systems that are in the so-called Goldilocks zone. So we have so many sources of possible life. Wouldn't it make sense that over a period of billions of years, real civilizations have arisen? But if we accept that, unless there's some really bad news, like we've got evil locusts from outer space attacking us, like in Independence Day, wouldn't that be the best way to convey the message? Of course, it requires a plan that can be carried out over several decades.
No, I don't think that Orson Welles syndrome argument works anymore. I think people are more than ready to hear the truth if the truth has not been told yet. So I disagree with anyone who says that it's going to topple, you know, the financial centers. And, you know, might do a number on the Islamic communities because they, you know, they consider themselves to be the center of the universe. So that might be a problem. But I think in the West, I don't see it as being the kind of issue it maybe would have been in the 40s or 50s, closer to, you know, World War II and, you know, larger, you know, global conflicts on the planet. I think people are pretty jaded and cynical. And to be honest with you, I think even if they did make an announcement, I bet you there'd be a sizable percentage of people that would think there was some sort of, you know, some sort of ploy by the government, and they wouldn't believe it.
Well, just consider this. We can get into all sorts of conspiracy theories. People, according to surveys, don't believe the press. They don't believe the government. They believe the president of the United States, who, I mean, you may disagree, from all indications, was born in Hawaii in 1961, according to the Hawaiian newspapers at the time, who claims to be a Christian, who goes to a Christian church, and Reverend Wright was a Christian, a holy roller kind of Christian. So we have someone who is evidently a Christian, born in the United States, but was a third of Republicans believe he's a Muslim or not born in the United States? I mean, all right, you know, why do we care? And, of course, the big argument would be if this guy wasn't half black but white, would we care? And why do we even allow Ted Cruz, who was born in Canada, to run for president?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, because the definition of natural-born citizen means that his mother was a native-born American. I think that's the way. But that's the same thing true with Obama, so what difference would it make? Anyway, let's talk about, instead of known creatures, unknown creatures.
Yeah.
Because a new book out from Stan Gordon, who is one of the top crack researchers in Pennsylvania. The book is called Astonishing Encounters, Pennsylvania's Unknown Creatures, Casebook 3, And what can I say? He's coming up next with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle. Now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to OneSilverSolution.com. OneSilverSolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast this week, we have Stan Gordon. The book is called Astonishing Encounters, Pennsylvania's Unknown Creatures, Casebook 3. We'll get to that in a moment. I want to tell you something about the offer of a lifetime. We are offering, get this now, lifetime subscriptions for the Paracast Plus. All right? So we have it working now four ways. Monthly subscription is $5 a month. annual subscription is $50 a year. For a five-year subscription, it's $175. But for $300, lifetime. And right now, the actuarial tables say that I'm going to live until I'm 84. So I'll be around for a while. And Chris will live to 83, I think. So, and he's a lot younger than I am. So we're going to be around. What we offer with the PowerCast Plus at plus.thepowercast.com is the ad-free version of this show, the After the PowerCast podcast, exclusively available to PowerCast Plus subscribers. You know, a lot of good stuff going on there. Now, with a lifetime offer, if you subscribe to PowerCast Plus for a year, you get Secrets of the Mysterious Valley, the ebook version from Chris. For 5 years, you get that book and Stalking the Tricksters. And for lifetime subscriptions, you get both books. And maybe I'll throw in a copy of Attack of the Rockoids, a sci-fi thriller that my son and I wrote. Okay? Plus.thepowercast.com. Stan, you've got a wealth of information there. And I have to tell you, I lived in Pennsylvania for about 6 years, long, long time ago. And I probably made a foolish mistake leaving it. But why do we find so many strange things happening in Pennsylvania?
Well, you know, historically, there's been a long history of phenomena in Pennsylvania, from Native American accounts to many articles that were written in 800s of the newspapers across Pennsylvania, people seeing strange things in the sky and strange things in the woods. So it's been going on for a long time. But also, you've got to remember, you know, I started my hotline back in 1969, and we're probably, I would say, probably the most active scientific-oriented research group probably in the country, even though it was relatively small. We were extremely active. We were out there day and night, 24 hours a day, across the state investigating cases, and it was one of the only places in the country where you could report a sighting and somebody would investigate it. And my hotline is still open since that time period, and between my hotline and my emails, I get reports in here almost on a daily basis on current and past reports. So it may well be the fact that there was a place that people could actually report a sighting if something had occurred.
Yeah, that's an important point, Stan. I think you're right. I found the same thing in Colorado. When I went there in 89, there was very little, if any, talk of any sort of unusual events. And then as soon as my first article came out and people knew that there was someone willing to take the time and work with them that weren't, you know, that wasn't going to judge them or make fun of them or violate any sort of, you know, request for anonymity, boom, reports just start coming out of the woodwork. I was absolutely amazed. And come to find out that stuff had been percolating along the whole time. Nobody reported it because they didn't have anybody to report to. And I think that's a really important point that you bring up. People need to have recourse. Some of your larger groups that are out there, you don't get the kind of attention that you do from a private individual that's willing to log the miles and put in the time.
Oh, I have to agree. And like I said, you know, people talking about research today and, you know, unfortunately, from what I'm seeing and talking to many other people in the field, I think we're kind of going backwards. I think it was probably a lot more really serious in the field work being done back in the 70s, the 80s, maybe early 90s, but it's just not like it was back in those days what I'm hearing from different people.
What is it about Pennsylvania? Is there some sort of geophysical properties there? Do you think that there's something that you can actually put your finger on that makes Pennsylvania arguably the most active state in the eastern half of the country? Missouri's another place with a lot of activity, Colorado, California. But Pennsylvania has always, in my mind, been, especially that southern portion, the upper sort of Ohio River Valley. What is it about that area? Why do you think there's so much activity there and such a variety of activity?
Yeah, I've been looking for years to try to find that answer. And of course, yes, the state is covered with many very thickly forested and wooded areas. There's a lot of, you know, rivers and lakes in Pennsylvania. There's areas I probably have hiked through and investigated throughout many parts of some of the ridges, top of some of the mountains that probably not that many people ever really walked into. There's a lot of interesting areas in Pennsylvania. But something I discovered many years ago when investigating a lot of these cases, especially back in the 70s, was that, one, there's a lot of incidents, a lot of low-level, close-encounter-type UFO events that occur in the vicinity of energy sources. But I'm also finding this as well with more and more cryptid reports. These would occur in the vicinity of high-tension power lines, power-generating stations, gas wells, gas lines, communication towers, railroad tracks, water reservoirs, and I believe for quite a while that a lot of the phenomena we're dealing with seems to have some type of energy connection to it. There are many, many questions out there that I don't have the answers for. You know, now I'm out there gathering the information, trying to figure out what's going on, but I think right now that some of what we're dealing with is a little further ahead scientifically than we really have the answers for at this point.
So do you think that the hydrocarbons, the gas and oil fields and areas that have, you know, oil deposits, do you think that that may have some sort of bearing on that, the very fact that there's hydrocarbon energy?
No, I really haven't seen that. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I see a lot of cases where there's gas wells, there's gas lines, there's gas storage tanks, for example, on trailers, fuel tanks. It's just really unusual how we have so many different, for example, Bigfoot sightings around some of the mobile home communities over the years where some of these different apparatus are. I don't know exactly what it's all about, but it seems though there might be something there. Well, one thing I should add is one of the most active areas in the country, almost year after year, for reported sightings, which really stands out, is along the Chestnut Ridge. And the Chestnut Ridge is that mountain range that stretches from Preston County, West Virginia, to Westmoreland, Fayette, Indiana County, and Southwest PA. We get reports year after year, and Fayette County really stands out. It is an area where there is just a long history of very strange encounters with UFOs, Bigfoot, Black Panthers, all kind of strange entities. You name it, things have gone on up there. And even in the last year, there's been activity up there.
Well, what do you think it could be about that area? Why do you think that's a particular hotspot location in the state?
It's a lot of limestone up there. There's a small earthquake fault that goes through one part of the ridge, but it's inactive. Yeah, there's a lot of energy sources throughout that area, but it's nothing that really stands out except for the fact that we have these reoccurring reports.
Mm-hmm. How about cavern systems in the area?
Yeah, there's some well-known caves up in parts of that area. Some are open for the public to go in and explore around. You know, back in the heyday with all the Bigfoot activity back in the 70s, you know, many in daylight and our teams were out there sometimes within minutes to hours after the incident. And then many times we went into various caves where these things may have gone into and we searched all around and never found any evidence they were staying in there. They may have gone in there temporarily. No indication they were going in there and sheltering in there, for example.
Well, I'll tell you, your book that just came out, Astonishing Encounters, sure has some absolutely head-scratching cases.
Let's do our break, and then we'll get into that.
All right.
We got more to come with Stan Gordon and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
I am a 47-year-old female and had a heart attack in 2005. This is Alice from New Jersey. I still get angina, even with four stents. I was taking Nitro two or three times a week. The very first day after taking Heart and Body Extract, the chest pain was gone. Now I don't wear a Nitro patch.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at HBExtract.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection. Security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue for just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimplySafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimplySafeDefense.com. SimplySafeDefense.com.
If you're like me, you're concerned about the stock market and the economy. You're asking the questions, but it just doesn't seem that you're getting the right answers. Well, my friends at the Wealth Preservation Institute not only have the answers, but they put together a free report, How to Survive the Upcoming Economic Collapse and Protect Your 401ks, IRA Savings, and Retirement Income. Don't hesitate. This report's for free for a limited time by calling 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. Take back your financial lives today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Ricky LeBlanc, admitted in Mass only. Sokolov Law, LLC, Chestnut Hill, Mass. Ken Levin, responsible attorney in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Greg Hobby, New Jersey. The choice of lawyer is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertisements. While this firm maintains joint responsibility, most cases of this type refer to other attorneys for principal responsibility. If you know what mesothelioma is, you or someone you love has likely been impacted by this devastating cancer. You may be entitled to compensation. Call Sokolov Law today. 1-800-218-HELP. The only known cause of mesothelioma is asbestos exposure. Thousands of hardworking men and women, including many U.S. veterans and industrial workers, have been diagnosed with mesothelioma because manufacturers knew the dangers but put profits ahead of people. An estimated $30 billion in court-ordered trusts has been set aside to pay money to asbestos victims. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with mesothelioma, call now. You may be entitled to receive compensation without ever going to court or filing a lawsuit. Call for a free legal consultation at 1-800-218-HELP. Help. That's 1-800-218-HELP.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we're exploring all those curious, really curious events that occur in the state of Pennsylvania, which seems to have a pretty high percentage of unusual stuff, from cryptids to UFOs. We've got Stan Gordon here. His book is called Astonishing Encounters, Pennsylvania's Unknown Creatures, Casebook 3. Chris had a question.
Couldn't help noticing the Butler Ferry account. It's mind-boggling that something like this could fly right, you know, within feet of people, and you have such good quality eyewitness accounts that describe this thing. Why don't you give us a thumbnail sketch on that particular event? Because this is really unusual. It's almost like something you'd expect to find in outside some pub in Ireland or something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is something I rarely have ever heard about. You know, yeah. You hear talk and stories about these very small little flying entities, and to be honest, I really didn't take them very seriously. But in the last couple of years, various people describing me something somewhat similar. And when I first saw this story published on Phantoms and Monsters, I was able to contact the witness, and he gave me permission to redo his story that he wrote. And I had correspondence with him on this number of times. And it was such a detailed account of what they saw and experienced back in the summer of 2005 in Butler County. And we'll talk more about Butler County, including I just yesterday received a really interesting, very bizarre creature encounter from Butler County that occurred in the last few weeks, and did an extensive interview with the witness last night. But there's a lot of history also in Butler County, north of Pittsburgh, of a lot of strange things occurring. this particular case was interesting because there was, I guess, 7-8 people, as I recall, that were visiting a friend, you know, when this very small, very small, very detailed little, you know, like a fairy, you know, as it was described. And it's just an amazing, amazing account how this unfolded in great detail.
Now, this is interesting here because a lot of people, when they look in stories like this, they think, oh, all that stuff happened years ago. And they say the same thing about UFOs. Oh, well, the big sightings occurred years ago. But what you just told us here is this is stuff that is, to the present day, it's happening all the time around us.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. These reports go on year after year. But just like the witness I talked to last night, some people wait for weeks or months or years for it to be reported. Just like the witness said, when this happened several weeks ago, they were so much really in shock about what they saw that they were really reluctant to tell anybody or report it for fear of being ridiculed. And, you know, I've been dealing with this for a long time. I've been taking calls, of course, you know, going back many, many years, interviewing many people. So many people, even today, especially with the cryptid reports, they're still extremely reluctant to talk about them publicly, have their names associated with the sighting. Now, the UFO phenomenon is taking on a lot more interest, and the ridicule problem is not nearly what it used to be, but it still occurs. And many of the witnesses I talked to today still reluctant to report, especially when you're dealing with not lights in the sky, but large, solid craft close to the ground. Many of the witnesses, even today, who have UFO or cryptid encounters are very reluctant to publicly talk about it because they're still afraid of being ridiculed. It's not as bad with the UFO phenomena. More and more people are willing to talk about it. But those witnesses who have encountered something very close at very low level are still quite often really reluctant to publicly talk about it. But the sightings go on year after year. I mean, even this year has been pretty steady with reports coming in. We've had a little surge in activity, actually, in August and September with some interesting reports that have come in. So things are happening out there, and it's I'm sure not just in Pennsylvania, but it's probably well across the country. But there are, again, there's not a lot of good information coming in from some of the states out there.
You know, why don't you give us an example of some of your end-of-summer fall reports that you're currently working on?
Do you want me to tell you about this really unusual entity reported? It happened in late August or the first week of September of this year. I just interviewed the witness last night. And this took place on a rural road in eastern Butler County about 5 p.m. It was a sunny day, and the witness was just taking a leisurely drive through that scenic rural area. And the driver was focusing on the road ahead, looking around to the right side. There was a stream, and there was some woods to the left. And going down the road, and then suddenly, in about 15 to 20 feet ahead, and about three-quarters of the way across the road, the witness sees something that found was very hard to describe, and it was moving from right to left ahead of the vehicle. The first thought the driver was it was a deer, but then quickly realized it was unlike anything that they had ever seen before or even might even exist, and that's because the first feature caught their attention looked similar to the head of a deer. However, the head was angled straight up, and the head was not real pointy. It was kind of narrowed at the top, then rounded off. The body was similar in color to a deer and appeared to be about 4 to 4.5 feet tall and appeared to be smooth, but it was unclear if it was covered with skin and had no apparent hair. And the being now was observed just from the side. It never looked towards the vehicle, and no details could be seen on the face because of that. The arms looked very short and out of proportion to the rest of the body, and the arms were held in very close to the chest area. The hands appeared to be very small. It gave the impression they were either being held together or possibly holding something. And what the witness found hard to describe was that there appeared to be something hanging down, possibly some type of fabric that was covering around the leg area, as no legs or feet could be observed. And the driver said this being just glided above the roadway. And even stranger was that behind the head, there was an odd effect. And the witness said it looked sort of like a time-lapse picture, like a cartoon when a character is moving so fast the body can't keep up with it. The witness commented it looked like the head portion was losing streaks of body matter as it glided across the road. Within a couple of seconds, the car approached the location of the road where the creature had been gliding. The driver looked all around, but the being was nowhere in sight and was not seen again. The witness was stunned, could not understand how this creature could be gone in seconds. The entire observation lasted maybe 7-8 seconds. The witness also mentioned that it was unusual that the creature wasn't seen as it came from the right side of the road and was only first observed when it was already gliding 3/4 of the way across the road ahead. So it's a very interesting, unusual report.
Chris, you're continuing or what?
So I'm a little confused. Was this a creature upright? It was on two legs, in other words?
It was upright, but they couldn't see any legs, and it appeared to be floating or gliding atop the surface of the roadway.
Did they notice any antlers or anything coming out of the head that would give it more of the appearance of a deer?
Nothing at all. The only reason she even said like a deer was, one, the coloration was somewhat similar to the deer, and two, the head shape was somewhat like that, but it was pointing straight upward. And there was no other indication of a deer, and immediately realized it wasn't any deer, any kind of creature she had ever seen before.
And this is the middle of the day.
5 o'clock, a beautiful afternoon. And, over the years, we've had other floating entity reports, some of which I mentioned in the new Astonishing Encounters book, that we have had a history, and it's not just in Pennsylvania, but I'm sure you may have had some of these out your way as well, these entities that appear to float.
Yeah. Yeah, I've actually had the dubious distinction of seeing one, and it had a full rack of antlers, too, which freaked me out. I was naked in my greenhouse shower, so it was rather disconcerting. And it was silhouetted against the still lit sky. The sun had gone down probably 10 minutes, 15 minutes before. But, these types of entities are often, as are ET-type entities, you'll hear reports of them gliding and not appearing to have their lower bodies, their legs, or from the torso down actually moving.
We've got Stan Gordon joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank account, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zero. Rolled out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years' experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Is it all monsters all the time on the Paracast? Well, when we look at Astonishing Encounters, Pennsylvania's Unknown Creatures, Casebook 3 by Stan Gordon, maybe that's true. Chris, you want to continue with what you started with?
You got to ask yourself, I'm sure, from time to time, what the heck is this about? I mean, why do you think that these types of creatures are being seen? And do you think that there's something actually physical? Or do you think there's something more akin to some sort of supernatural or paranormal type effect?
Well, yeah, I really got to go back to the 1973 period. You know, as you probably recall, that was the time we had that massive, probably the largest outbreak in history of UFO and Bigfoot sightings here in Pennsylvania, but also many parts of the country were experiencing that massive flap of UFO sightings, which actually peaked in the fall of 1973. A lot of activity going on, but also there was quite a bit of Bigfoot activity going on throughout the country as well, but not to the level that was happening here in Pennsylvania. I mean, we had hundreds and hundreds of UFO sightings going on. It started January 1st, and it continued through 73, and more reports continued in 1974. But it was in the summer of 73, as all this other UFO activity is going on, that we had that major outbreak of Bigfoot sightings. And that went on for weeks and months. And it started here in southwestern Pennsylvania, and it continued through many other parts of the state. It was just an amazing time to live through. And many of those Bigfoot encounters, they weren't nighttime, they were daylight. In some cases, you had multiple creatures being seen, two or three at the same time. In some cases, these things were extremely close to people, especially in cases where they walk out, for example, in front of cars, or were seen walking near homes, for example, and people got a very, very, very detailed look at these things. So, you know, I started looking into Bigfoot sightings in Pennsylvania soon after the Keksberg incident in 1965, when I began my field research into UFOs and all kind of other phenomena. And I had always felt, from what information was available on Bigfoot in Pennsylvania and from people I was interviewing at that time, that Bigfoot, if it was real and appeared there was something to it, that it was probably some type of unknown zoological creature, some type of unknown primate. For years and years, I've always felt that that was probably the case, and I continue to keep an open mind to all possibilities. All this activity is going on in 1973. Now, you got to remember, back in 1973, a lot of the witnesses at that period, they saw something, they encountered something, they made calls to the police departments. In some cases, they called the news media. They wanted help or they wanted to find out what was going on. You know, my first group was the Westmoreland County UFO Study Group. It was founded in 1970. We started out as a very small research group. You know, I wanted to try to set up a volunteer group of people who could go out and look at these cases firsthand and try to respond to these cases soon after the call came in, hopefully to get on the scene of an incident while the phenomenon was ongoing. So that's what I focused on and what I did. And the group was kind of unique in that the majority of the people were people who had some type of specialized backgrounds. There were scientists and engineers and technicians and former military intelligence people and police officers. And I had many people who dealt with me anonymously with their positions from Westinghouse, Gulf Research, Alcoa Research around Pittsburgh, from some of the colleges and universities. It was a really interesting group of people, many who came in very skeptically, but many of them spent years with me out in the field and began to realize, seeing the patterns of what we were dealing with, seeing the evidence we were finding, that there were indeed mysteries out there we couldn't explain. But going back to that time period, as these reports are coming in from widespread areas, lots of the police departments, and in quite a lot of cases, some of the police departments were referring cases to my teams to investigate. So we were out there, you know, very quickly after some of these events. Some of the reports were highly unusual. For example, in some cases, our teams would get out to a location where Bigfoot sighting had taken place, and there will be trails of footprints that would suddenly stop and disappear. But the ground conditions were suitable. There should have been more tracks. And then patterns began to emerge. We would have, for example, a UFO sighting in a certain area. And within minutes, the hours, the days later, we would have a Bigfoot sighting or vice versa. And then we had some of the most amazing, well-documented cases where a UFO and a Bigfoot are seen together at the same time and place. But then, as that time continued on with some of these Bigfoot cases, some even stranger accounts came, which began to suggest that Bigfoot may not be a normal flesh and blood animal, as hard as that is for me to say.
That brings up some interesting points. And I think for some of our newer listeners who perhaps have not heard you on the show before, I think the one case that you were there within minutes of the report of the Bigfoot-like creature coming out of the light that appeared to be surrounding a craft. Why don't you give us an idea of how that case unfolded and some of the pretty startling details, including gunplay and everything else.
So, and actually, the creatures did not come out of the UFO, but I'll explain it as the story goes along. So this goes back to that wave of reports back in 1973, October 25th. This is again in Fayette County. Here we go, Fayette County again. I have been receiving many sightings during that 24-hour period on my hotline from around Pennsylvania. Been a lot of UFO sightings going on that day. Around 10:30 that evening, I received a phone call from a state trooper from the Uniontown State Police Barracks outside of Uniontown in Fayette County. Now, he had just come back from investigating this multiple witness UFO incident, UFO landing. It happened in a rural area up there. And he called me from the barracks. Another key witness was with him at the time, and I interviewed him. He was highly upset. Trooper told me, he said, he thought there was a good chance of something was still up in that pasture. He wanted me to get a team up there as soon as we could. You know, we're still a pretty good distance away. It's already late at night, but we got our team together. We got our equipment checked out. We got our radios and our radiation gear and other equipment, and we found our way up there and got there in early morning hours, and we went to the pasture. Well, actually, we met the key witness, who was actually the son of the farmer who owned the farm where this had taken place. Then his father arrived, and we went up to the farm. And what we found out was that around 9 o'clock, about 15 people in that rural area had observed this object, a big red sphere about as big as a barn, about 100 feet off the ground, and slowly moving downward. And the people were all standing outside watching this thing with different directions. And the farmer's son is riding down the farm lane towards his dad's farm to visit him, and he sees this thing. And he goes off to a neighbor's house to get a better viewpoint of it. And he and some young boys watch this thing. It looks like it's coming down. So they decide they're going to run up there and see what this thing is. But before they did that, he went over to his dad's farm. He grabbed a .30-06 and a handful of ammunition. included in that handful of ammunition were two tracers. They proceeded down the farm road. He's in his truck, and they parked the truck at an angle so they could see the path going up towards the pasture, and they noticed that it looked like something was draining the power from the headlights, which they had never had that happen before, but that's something that's been very common historically with close-range UFO cases. And as they made their way up the hill to the top of the pasture, and they're standing there looking, they're standing there in amazement, because about 250 feet away is this huge object that's on the ground or right above it. Now, as they were approaching down that farm road towards the pasture, in the distance, dogs in the area are going crazy. They hear this high-pitched whining sound, and they hear this baby crying sounds going on. And they get louder as they approach closer to the pasture. When they get up into the field, they're looking at this object, which is now like a big, maybe 100 foot or more in diameter, bright white dome that's illuminating the whole area, making that high-pitched whining noise. And they're standing there in amazement. They can't believe what they're seeing. And they're studying this thing, trying to figure out what it is. But then they notice along this barbed wire fence line 75 feet away, two tall figures slowly walking in their direction. And their first thought, of course, like, these got to be bear. What else could they be? Now, of course, the farmer's son's been hunting for years, and he knew bear. And he said it was very obvious very quickly these were not bear. The one in front was about 8 feet tall. The one behind it was about 7 feet tall. They were covered with long, dark, matted hair. They had bright green glowing eyes, self-luminescent glowing eyes. They were making this baby crying sound. The arms were so long they were almost down to the ground. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. So the one in front is moving slowly ahead of the one behind it, and they're walking along the barbed wire fence. Well, at one point, one of the boys yells, "Shoot him, shoot him." The guy decides to take a shot. One of the boys is so scared, he runs out of the pasture. The guy takes the first shot, which turns out to be a tracer. So for the hunters out there, they know you get to that luminous trail. That's all you get when they fire that tracer around. He fired a second tracer. But when he did, something really interesting occurred. The largest of the two creatures made this loud crying sound and reached out as though to grab that tracer. And the exact moment it did that, the object in the field disappeared. It just vanished.
Stan Gordon's with us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack, Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack, Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.